little boy around the table at home. I remember very well when company would come. I would have to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait. They would come to stay a while with us. I would have to slip around and raise a little fuss, in fear that I would spill the beans or break the china plate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
And happy Saturday. It is Saturday, January 14th, 2023, and time for another edition of Blackbird's Nine Saturday Snack Shack. And tonight's episode is episode number 7 and is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mr. Paul English. And we're going to bring Mr. Paul English here in a few minutes and see what he would like to talk about. And also what you would like to talk about. So we're at the bottom of the hour, we'll be opening up the phone lines to hear what you want to talk about. So if you'd like to call into the show, you can call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Also have the toll-free number, 1-800-313-9443. But that does cost the station some money, so don't use it unless you have to. If you'd like to join us in the chat room, you can come out to bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. That's bb9tradingposts, plural, .chitango.com. So much going on this week. So, you know, I wonder what Mr. Paul English is going to want to talk about. Maybe he'll want to talk about the weather. Or maybe he'll want to talk about Iran hanging a former defense minister, dual Iranian British national, Ali Raza Akbara, for being an MI6 spy. At least that's what he was charged with. Or maybe he wants to talk about those mysterious Idaho murders out there allegedly by chicken swinger Brian Koberger. Or maybe he wants to talk about PETA's Joe Biden's stash of classified documents that just keep coming out of nowhere. They're in the garage. They're in the apartment. They're everywhere. Classified, classified. Or maybe he wants to talk about the Great Reset Globo Homo New World Order World Economic Forum Leader Summit in Switzerland this week, complete with 5,000 military troops for security. That's right. They want to take your guns away, but when it comes to their safety, you can't have too many armed troops, right? Or maybe he wants to talk about learned ADL chicken swinger Jonathan Nosferatu Greenblatt being big mad about the noticing numbers in a recent study. Seems people are catching on to what's going on, and he's big mad about it. Or maybe he wants to talk about the FAA grounding all flights in the U.S., which hasn't happened since 9/11, and that just happened to be on January 11th. And they grounded them till 9 a.m. due to a glitch. But I'm sure there's nothing really going on there. Or maybe he wants to talk about Lisa Marie Presley and lots of other people dying suddenly. Or maybe he wants to talk about Iran being happy about Syria and Turkey, you know, going to the negotiation tables again, but Israel, UK, and the US are big mad about it. Or maybe he wants to talk about the UK MP Matt Hancock and the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak suspending MP Andrew Bridgen for daring to compare vaccine deaths to the Holocaust. Oh my gosh, can't do that. You know, smite them well. Or maybe he wants to talk about the German Green Party replacing its own white male justice member with a black female who has no law degree or no political experience, but they've got diversity in Germany. So that's what Green Parties are all about, right? So, or maybe he wants to talk about the new Martin Luther King $10 million big turd sculpture that was unveiled in Boston today. Or maybe he wants to talk about the Mall of America telling a man to remove his Jesus Saves t-shirt because it was offending the shoppers. Or maybe he wants to talk about the Michigan middle school that was threatened to sue after officials released photographs of grade school children playing on poles at a strip club during a school outing. What were they doing there in the first place? Good question. Or maybe he wants to talk about the Michigan residents of a Detroit area city that just voted to allow animal sacrifices for religious purposes, voted in by the new Muslim majority. Or maybe he wants to talk about angry black woman Congress critter Sheila Jackson Lee introducing her White Devils Act of 2023, otherwise known as H.R. 6-1, Leading Against White Supremacy Act of 2023. Or maybe he wants to talk about Sam Bankman-Fried and the FTX scandal and the new revelations of secret backdoors used to funnel money to Alameda Research. Or maybe he wants to talk about self-proclaimed King David having major PR problems with the new Israeli government as 80,000 people gathered today to protest his new government in Israel. Or maybe he wants to talk about all these new Twitter files being released by Elon Musk showing chicken swinger Congress critter Adam Pencilneck Schiff was playing the shut it down game big time of people he didn't want talking on Twitter. I'm one of those people that got shut down on Twitter. Wonder what I was shut down for, right? Or maybe he wants to talk about the continuing deafening silence of those 51 intelligence officers over the Hunter Biden laptop. Yeah, lots of silence from those guys that were, you know, definitely sure it was Russian disinformation. And speaking of Russia, maybe he wants to talk about the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Or maybe he wants to talk about the flood of invaders coming into the UK daily across the UK, the English Channel. You know, but they're dreamers, just like the flood of invaders that are coming into the U.S. southern border every day. Dreamers, right? Or maybe he wants to talk about the January Sixers that are still in prison, or the big coup in Brazil. You talk about Bolshevik revolutions. Or maybe he wants to talk about where in the world is Israeli Ehud Barak, who completely disappeared once, Ghislaine Maxwell, got arrested. Or maybe he wants to talk about the hundreds of thousands of white children going missing every year in white nations. So, Mr. Paul English, welcome to the show, and tell me, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, Frederick, I'd like to talk about all of those things, if we can, because there's only a few. You didn't mention too much. I think I can remember just about every single item. Good grief. And unfortunately, I mean, I was actually talking to my next door neighbor about all of those things this afternoon, so I'm going to just have to go over them all again. You covered quite a list there. You know, it's not as if there's any one particular thing that actually jumps out as me as being any more ludicrous and mad and stupid than any of the others. I don't know how this all strikes you. I've just had a period of literally having my head out to dry and not considering any of these things actually for about 3 weeks. So I'm kind of sort of like, it's quite exciting hearing all these crazy things that you've just been talking about. And of course, none of them are really in principle new. I mean, you know, the form's different, but it's the same old pantomime and the same old madness. I'm You mentioned the thing about this MP over here saying something, comparing something to the Holocaust, which often seems to come up, you know, every hour on the hour all the time. But I understand that that MP is a Freemason. But then probably I would imagine nearly all the MPs are Freemasons anyway. Not that I've got a list of them here. So it's very difficult for me to take too much of what comes out of that space too seriously. But I mean, so as to not embarrass myself any further, what is it that really is taking up your attention more than mine?
Oh, I'm just living the dream here in North Kakalaki. It's just, you know, unicorns and rainbows here. But I guess we should introduce you properly. You and I have been working together for several years now, and you, to me, are one of the voices of the truth movement. You have done so much work, both behind the scenes and in front of the mic, and you have done so much voiceover work with some of the leaders in the research movement. So could you just go through a few of the things that you've worked on that people may be familiar with or not familiar with?
I guess. I don't know. The way you described it, it sounds as though I've done loads and loads, and I suppose my feeling is that I haven't really. I mean, I actually tend to look to people like yourself who are regularly behind the microphone. I've not been. I mean, I did a long stint with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. I can't remember how many years we did that, but that was a Monday thing that we did for many years. He still calls me up, does Andy, every now and again. He goes, "You're still the person who's been on the most." And I go, "Really?" I can't sort of, it doesn't sort of make too much sense to me, because I just thought there must be lots of other people that he's spoken to. But it probably is the case. I did the audiobook for Tom Goodrich's Hellstorm, which was just something that I personally wanted to do. That's quite a while back now. It's about 5 or 6 years ago since that. And I'm still in touch with Tom quite regularly. But the last year and a half have been really involved with a lot of sort of technical background stuff. You'll be shocked to hear, Frederick, as well, that I haven't been reading very much the last year and a half, and this was a conscious decision. I would imagine that you're just plowing through text all day long, and I am like that, and I will get back to that. But I decided to really sort of take a break and try and sort of stick my brain somewhere else for a little while and try and get a different view of things. But yeah, I was around at really helping Eli James put Eurofolk Radio together. That's about 8 years ago, and that's where we first came into contact, isn't it? There, when your show was there for a few years. I can't remember how long. And now, of course, it's here. You're doing work here and on SpeakFreeRadio.com and elsewhere. So, I've just been kind of out of the loop, really, with the talking stuff. I mean, over the last year, I've probably been on air maybe 2 or 3 times, I think, something like that. The last big thing I did was back in January of last year, in fact. I ended up, Mark Collett of Patriotic Alternative invited me on for a couple of hours. And that was very, I really enjoyed myself doing that. It's not that I'm not enjoying myself doing this, Frederick, I am. That was the last sort of major sort of communication I'd made. I think I've called in a couple of times on Giuseppe's shows and stuff like that, but I've consciously just been away from it. And of course, the last 2 years for everybody has been one of a great disturbance, has it not, with this jabberish that's been going on for the last 2 years. And I've had my own thoughts about that. And I think the game's changed. I think really the role of people like you, like me, even for the listeners, has changed considerably. That's what's really struck me. I think maybe that's one of the reasons I've been taking a bit of time out to try and look at this from a different perspective, because I can only say it from the way I've viewed the process. We've gone around for the last 20 years, maybe even longer, some of us. I mean, you know, I started bumping into this stuff about 94 and 95, so it's a long time ago, really. It's probably longer than some listeners are in age, and which is a bit weird to say. But I always had in mind this idea. This is very naive, because you look back on all your ideas, and they all look naive and stupid, don't they, in retrospect? But you think, oh, look, there's all this body of information, and by golly, it it really does readjust the focus, and we can see more clearly where much of the trouble originates from, where we're culpable, how we've failed to pay attention to things. And all I have to do is go around and tell everybody this, and then we'll put it right. And then that doesn't work.
Easy peasy, we think, right?
Yeah. You know, you're involved in conversations. I mean, you know, the one I do like to discuss World War II, simply because as a pivot point, it's huge. You know, there's a lot you can say, because most people, it's an extreme example, even though it's quite a while ago. I mean, you know, it ended before I was born, just to, if anybody's in any doubt about that. I wasn't alive at the time of World War II. But people have got a very clear view of it, do they not, from all the, from what's been drummed and pounded into their brain, and is continue to be pounded into their brain to this very day. So I understand why people have the sort of understanding of that particular event in history that they do. And so when you can throw in a few things to get them to think about it, it can be quite effective, but not as effective, I think, as any of us would like. And I think that that's the difference, really. It's the last 2 years as well have shifted the ground, I think, underneath certainly my feet. I feel as though we've got a different urgency about us, and that me talking about things that people hitherto didn't know about may still be relevant, but seems less relevant at this moment in time, because the bombs are coming in now. The luxury of sort of like talking and hoping that that would work, which I wish it would, and I it's not that I'm intent to stop in that arena, but there seems to be more of an urgency in other areas, I think. And just even now, although it does seem a bit of a lost cause, trying to get through to so-called to people who've not thought about these things much is often, I can't resist the temptations to keep having a go. So I don't know whether you view that as a weakness or not. It possibly is. It might be a complete waste of time. But every now and again, you know, you get a positive response out of people, which is, I suspect, one of the great reasons why you do this, why others do it. We're looking to sort of engage, hopefully, with new audiences and say, look, there's this here, and this might readjust your sights on some things that you've been missing and that we need to correct, because if we don't, we are probably going down the toilet. And I don't really want to go down there. I don't know about you, but I'm not too interested in that.
Right. And I think you really hit on it with telling people the truth only works if they're willing to listen to the truth. And that was the big learning curve for me, you know, after 9/11. Back when I had my other life, when I was living the dream as the young, you know, engineer backstage, you know, doing all this work for, you know, the government agencies, et cetera. And then after 9/11, and I'm trying to tell people, look, I showed them how to do this. They're doing illegal electronic surveillance of everybody. And, you know, you need to be concerned about this. And this was in place before 9/11. And then, you know, the whole thing with 9/11 is this is physically impossible what you're being told. But they're so emotionally attached to their truths and their worldview that you could have all the facts in the world and they're not going to listen to you. But after doing this for 21 years, you get another audience that's not so emotionally attached to it. You know, they didn't sit there and watch the loop after loop after loop of the towers collapsing, being threatened with the anthrax and all the other fear porn. And, you know, so this new generation, you know, they are ready to listen. And so it's very important to me that, you know, there's people like you and, you know, me and the Fetch and all these other people, wonderful people out there. You mentioned Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, that are just out there, you know, going through the slings and arrows, if you will, of trying to tell the truth to a hostile audience. And with you, you know, I think you have been gifted with one of the best voices since the late, great Anthony Lawson in the truth movement. And if you remember his work and how they went after him for trying to tell the truth. And this was, you know, the most trusted voice of the BBC. And suddenly he's a pariah. because he's trying to tell the truth and everyone's attacking him. So, you know, your work, voiceover work, I always say, you know, if I had a voice like yours, I would be very dangerous.
Would you? Even more dangerous than you already are. That's quite a thing. But you touch on it. You see, it's a good point that you raise there as well with regard to Anthony Lawson, because that little story that you've just given has been repeated over and over for many, many individuals who have sought to go, hey, look, here, look. And you find, of course, that the great coterie of vested interests instantaneously come together to crush that. And that dynamic still exists to this day. It's not going to go away because, you know, one of the things I've often thought is, in any nation, yours, mine, anyone that's still got the remnant or the whiff of Christian common law running through it, let's put it like that, if a good group of men and or women came together to try and change the flow, to take us back to many of the good things in the past that we've lost, how would we defend those people? How would you actually physically, day-to-day, protect them? Because we're dealing, you know, the people on the other side seem to demonstrate, certainly from many accounts I've read, Frederick, and I'm sure you've read many as well, you know, the hidden stuff when it comes out, they're quite willing to do some very, very unpleasant, nasty, awful, murderous sorts of things, and they do these things. And we're not willing to do that, thankfully, which, of course, is a great conundrum. You go, well, how do you actually deal with this stuff when these people behave so badly? And when you can't reach them in communication, I mean, that's the, this is kind of, you know, one of the salutary points about all of this is that we come across, I should imagine, I get very excited even now when I come across something that I'd not really seen before. And what am I doing? I guess I'm kind of providing even more focus on a picture that I'm already pretty familiar with. And you think, well, maybe this will do it. But of course, just like you were saying before, if someone's not willing to listen or they haven't got the question mark thing running around in their head, it is literally or virtually impossible to get them to engage for more than just a moment with it. I mean, I've had conversations with people where I take them through certain points. I won't go, and they nod, and they kind of at that moment in their conversation, at that meeting, that gathering, that little party for an hour, they understand everything that I've said. They don't necessarily agree with it, but they've taken it on board. It's a new idea. When I come back and maybe see them a few months later, it's as if that conversation never took place. Do you have that? You have to start again. I'm going, I haven't got time for this. There's millions of people we've got to reach. And if I do this with just one, I'm only going to get through to three people. This is no. So numbers seem to be key because the crowd is swayed by how big a crowd it's in, you know. This is not a good thing, of course, because crowds do not think very well. They're effectively coerced and quite easily bullied, as are we all. And what's COVID been about? It's just been mass bullying, psychological bullying for 2 years. I mean, I had to go somewhere the other day, a hospital, for a checkup on my fun and games recently, and it all went well. It was just a small thing. But this woman said, can you wear a mask? I said, well, I can. She said, well, will you wear a mask? I said, I don't want to wear a mask. She said, do you have an exemption? I said, well, I can think. Does that count? So anyway, I don't go into a big drama with these things. She handed me the mask, and I walk off with these things. I never put them on. I've never put one on once. I mean, they're just, it's madness. And even now, I mean, you know, I'm coming in late on this. I've not spoken about this for 2 years. But it's the compliance with the authority that's the great concern. It's not, I mean, the jab thing itself is going to turn out to be as dreadful and awful, I guess, even if it's only a tenth as dreadful and awful as being mooted, it's going to be pretty bad for those that have taken it. And I know that there's some terrible things taking place. I don't know what we're supposed to say about that, but it's the compliance with authority that's the thing that's affected me the most in terms of looking at people. I thought, good grief. They can't get through to anything in their thinking because they're not very good at it, which is, oh, now we sound snotty. Well, I'm terribly sorry, but you're not very good at thinking about things, are you? You know what I mean? So, but it does come across that way. I don't know about you, but that's the impact that people have not, you can tell from the look on their face often that this idea of thinking about things anew, afresh, or trying to re-break their thinking is very, very difficult. And I guess it's true. It is difficult. The longer, the older you get, the more you've been around, the more you might think you know what you know about. And it's very worrying to find out that you're completely clueless. And that's really where kind of the people that are inviting people say, hey, you know, most of that stuff that you think is true, yeah, it's not. It's probably not true, you know.
And, that's the thing is, you know, when you get to that point where you realize the majority of what you thought you knew is not true, but yet you've accepted it as if true to create your worldview your whole life.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a biggie. You know, we're unpleasant people, really, in many ways. I mean, although we enjoy one another's company, when we go out of this mindset space, which is easy to do because the vast majority of people are still in the other one, although the signs have been that they're very, I don't want to sound completely negative because it's ridiculous. I don't actually feel negative. You know, there are many, many negative things that we can touch upon, but I think there's some positive things as well taking place. It's like a great shakeup is coming. How dreadfully awful or how wonderfully amazing it's going to be, no one knows. Everybody wants to, particularly men, don't we? Because we want to be in charge, don't we, Frederick? We know what we're talking about, you see. Right. You can accept what I say, you see, because I've read a few more books than, but it doesn't really mean too much because we just have a more detailed understanding of how rotten it is. Whether we can still fix it or not is that conundrum, you know. And I think we were talking, weren't we, a few weeks ago, about a few points like this in a phone call, and I think I mentioned to you that I've thought about quite a few people, but I was thinking about Henry Ford. I know you did the whole series on the International Jew that Ford put together, but I was thinking about Ford just in terms of his role in the world and his power at the time as an individual. Highly competent man, obviously, self-evidently, organized, disciplined, focused, great drive, comes up with some amazing things, makes a difference, is noted to this day. There's not many people you can say that about. And at the height of his power, he puts all this money into trying to effectively discover the truth, you know, which results in him getting the Dearborn Independent and publicizing the International Jew. But where does it go? You know, I don't know about you, Frederick. I don't run a large multinational car company with billions of dollars at my disposal, and yet Ford did, and still you're meeting this kind of wall of what, I don't know what word, it's not indifference, it's just that it sort of peters out and people can't stay focused on this stuff, probably because it's so dreadful, actually, in many ways. It ends up, you end up looking at a lot of dreadful things, and it does tire out the soul to some degree. I think it does, anyway. You know, you have to refresh.
I guess that was my thing of naivete, was thinking that just because I have the truth, I'm going to be able to make a change, you know, in a bigger demographic. And at the time of 9/11, I was pursuing a political career, my business career, and everything was just going great. I was, you know, county chair. I was on the state executive board. I was a delegate to the national convention. And I thought, you know, we're going to run this all the way to the White House, right? And, you know, to get turned on by your own party, it's like the most death threats I got were from my old allies, right? And so, yeah, that was the big realization that, you know, this is a power system that is so big and so dark, it's going to take a lot more than what I have to challenge this. And I think, you know, even the great Henry Ford, and, you know, think about, you know, Father Coughlin and Henry Ford and, others of that period, you know, I think that, you know, you don't know the power system's there until you challenge it when it slaps you down. And Mr. Mike King this week released a very interesting article about the assassination attempts on both of those gentlemen by the powers that should not be, that, you know, these people play hardball. And you know, you don't even know those power systems exist until you start threatening those power systems. And then all of a sudden, you know, they come out of the slime mold, as I call it. So we're getting ready to go into a break, and then we're going to open up the phone lines. So we're talking to Mr. Paul English here on Paul English of Speak Free Radio here on RBN. And we're going to go into a break. You're listening to The Snack Shack, and we'll be back after these messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Now, taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater anyway.
All right, we are back. You are listening to Blackbird 9's Saturday Snack Shack Show, and with us tonight is Mr. Paul English. And once again, I appreciate you staying up late with us. And we're going to be opening up the phone lines now, and if you'd like to call in, you can call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, or call the toll-free number 800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And Mr. Producer, I think we have a caller on the line, so let's bring in Mr. Chance from West Virginia.
Yes. Hello, Snack Shackster. Can you hear me?
Greetings, good sir. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. Hello to Mr. English, the Englishman.
Hello back. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Well, the new big gefilte fish over at the ADL Chicken Swingers Club, Herr Greenblatt, he has his Victoria's Secret leopard skin crotchless men's panties in a bunch, huh? Because people are waking up, Yeah, well, Shazam, it's about time people wake up and hit that damn alarm clock. You know, watch out, folks. No monsters for you now. You know, I got a kick out of that turd sculpture there in Boston you mentioned there, Snack Factor.
Oh, wasn't that something? $10 million.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, yeah, that's really appropriate. Now they need to put one in New York City and another one in Philly, and it'll be complete.
Right, and of course they're tearing down all those beautiful sculptures that were paid for by the public, like the Silent Sam sculpture at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, the Richmond sculpture of Robert E. Lee, et cetera.
I know, that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart because I got portraits of Robert E. Lee in my living room. Hey, but look at it this way, Snack Saxer. Nothing beats a big bronze turd, right?
Right, that's art.
Have a good night, guys.
Thanks for calling in, Chance. You have a great weekend. Have you actually seen the sculpture yet, Paul?
This is the one you mentioned. It's a sculpture of what? MLK, is it?
Yeah, supposedly it's his embrace of his wife, right? But do I want to see it?
What would you suggest that I look at it? Would you?
Think of all the worst of the Bauhaus, Frankfurt School, modern art school. You know,
do I have
that's,
to?
You know, $10 million worth of bad art, right? So,
well, it's not art, is it?
All right, nice. I think we got another call to Mr. Producer. Let's bring in Miss Catherine from Virginia. Miss Catherine, how are you this evening?
Hi, Frederick. Hi, Paul.
Hello. Hi, Catherine.
Hello, Paul. Speaking of ugly art, which could only be created by the descendants of the Neanderthals, can you speak, Frederick, or maybe Paul, I'm sure Frederick probably knows well, how Henry Ford's Ford Foundation was taken over by these liberals? I know he was forced to apologize, but how did they get control of his foundation?
Paul, you want to take that?
I actually don't know how. I know that they did because I'm familiar with the Dodd Report and what happened when they were given access to the book. But that's afterwards. How those individuals got in charge of being able to do it, I actually don't know the answer to that, Catherine. It's not something I just knew that they had. And I think the secretary that Dodd sent down, she had a nervous breakdown, didn't she, when she was going through the notes of their meetings. But how they got into a position, I mean, that would have been the 1950s, I'm assuming. So, and was Henry Ford still alive then? I don't know, the founder, I don't know when he passed on. So maybe it was with his death that they were able to maneuver, or they'd already been doing that. I mean, I would imagine from him publishing the things that he did with the Dearborn Independent, from that point, he was a marked man. And no doubt it took him maybe a decade or 15 years to wheedle their guys in, subvert his accounts department, whatever. And that's just a guess, but it won't be far off because it's the same old, isn't it? Usually.
Do you know how it happened, or
are you asking us how it happened?
Oh, no, I don't know, but I'm just, the wheels in my brain are moving. You know, maybe it had something to do with maybe they claimed they owed more taxes and somehow finagled their way in that way. But
my understanding, it was basically the children that really turned.
Became
really woke, and it was probably, if you got a syndicate gun to your head, it's like, that's a big motivator, right? A loaded gun to your children's head, et cetera, that's one of the mobster axioms, is a man with children is never free, but you can always
all of the children's fairy tales. You know, the Little Red Riding Hood with the wolf and the Pied Piper that first takes the rats out of the town and then takes the children and, Hansel and Gretel. All of these things are cautionary tales about these evil, malignant people
and
that
Rumpel
are running our world.
Sleeping Beauty, Rumpelstiltskin, all of those. And it's interesting that the usual suspects were the ones in the 70s and 80s that basically started this campaign saying it's harmful to children to read them fairy tales. So we have to take all those traditional fairy tales out of the culture and replace them with, you know, Rugrats and, you know, all these other really bad things for children.
Just like they're trying to get rid of the Bible and the New Testament, but don't look into their evil Talmud.
Right. That's the thing is, you know, we're told that the book of John is hate speech, but don't look at the Talmud, right?
Yeah. Okay. Carry on, you guys. Thank you for taking my call.
All right,
Ms. Catherine,
you have a great weekend. Thanks for calling. Okay, Mr. Producer, we have Chris in Virginia. Chris, are you there?
Can you hear me? Hello.
Yes. Hey, happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. I have to say, you know, it's happy and everything, but me and the wife were just talking about, we were both there at J6. We were there. We didn't go inside, but like you said earlier, that's one of the worst things we've got going right now. But look, the urgency behind the people that are, you know, you can say what you want, but they are being mistreated. Those people are being mistreated. And so I'm sorry, but Marjorie Taylor Greene, all you people in Congress, every single damn day you need to get out there and be talking about these people are locked up and they're being mistreated, and it's wrong. It's very easy to make the case that it's absolutely wrong and needs to stop, and they need to be released. Put them, let them go home with the little things on their legs, with their leg monitors. The sense of urgency, I'm sorry, a lot, like you mentioned it, a lot of people think about it like they should be thinking about it, but a lot of people just don't care. They don't give a shit because they got their life and they got their Netflix and they got their Cheetos and their beanbag. They don't give a shit. And so I just wanted to say that we gotta be talking about these people every day. We should talk about it every day.
It's like, yeah, the Bolsheviks, the way the Cheka were treating their prisoners, you know, working them to death, torturing them to death, in the most sadistic ways possible. And there's a complete media blackout about it. And I'm hoping that this new House of Representative leadership is actually going to do something about this rather than just letting them, you know, be abused in the most sadistic ways possible. How is the J6 thing playing out in the UK, Paul? Is there any media coverage at all, either in the alternative media or in the mainstream media, about the January 6th protests?
It's not much. That's my impression. There hardly ever has been much coverage of it. It's not something. It's obviously important in your neck of the woods because it's in your neck of the woods. And if something similar happened here, maybe it would be important here, although the lethargy, you know, within the brains of the most British people, exactly the same. But yeah, the caller's absolutely right. I mean, it's, you know, but we're going to run out of adjectives to describe these things. I mean, this is obviously an injustice. What's happening to Julian Assange is that in microcosm, he's had 10 years of it or whatever. You know, how much more words do we keep on using to describe it? We're being bullied. Now, what do we have to do with bullies? And, you know, the people that are actually sat there watching Netflix, there's going to come a point probably pretty soon when that's not going to be possible if they do not become aroused or reconnect with things. But it may be as well, you know, the dreadful thought is that people are so far gone that they're not retrievable back into this space. And therefore, maybe, and this is just a thought I have as well, you know, is it possible to appeal to the masses? Are the masses appealable too, in some way? I mean,
I think they are, sir.
They are. You do? Well,
yes.
Good. That
yes,
encouraged
sir.
Me. That's great. I mean, I sometimes have moments I think, well, maybe. Maybe there's a subset of them. But obviously, we need mighty media power. We need a lot more than we've got. I think it's growing. But it's obvious that the media, being the influencer of opinion, is really the great molder of a so-called democracy. And I'm not into democracy, basically, because it's led to this, you know, this mess. But
yes,
it's efforts like RBN and other efforts that are that are vital, I think, for those of us that see that they're vital, and everything to amplify them is a good thing. Everything that makes this space bigger is required. It's got to get bigger. We've got to make this bigger. Numbers, everything. That's really the job, I think, at hand.
Yes, amen. RBN's getting the word out, but that's the problem. The whole problem is the media. They are the biggest culprit. Anybody needs to be swinging from nooses, they're going to be some of them, because they're the problem. They're the reason why no one knows what's going on. And so, that's the whole thing. But I just want to say one more thing, is that we got to think about the type of people that we're dealing with. I think of one thing real quick, and someone once said that America is great because the people in America are great, and if the people in America ever stop being great, then America will stop being great. Well, I think we're sort of at that point. There's still a lot of great people here. But the problem, we need to look at the type of people we're dealing with. We are dealing with the type of people that run the U.S. government, the scum in the U.K. government. That there's a lot of good people in the U.K. government, too. The type of people that are behind this. Sir? Well, at least you guys have a parliament, and they do a lot of screaming and yelling. That's entertaining, but
they do that. But it's a bit like treading water or manure. Treading manure might be a better analogy for it. But yeah, I take your point.
There are politicians and public officials over there that have stones, and you see it. But I wanted to say just real quick. I watched a video today of a Russian POW in Ukraine, and the Ukrainian piece of crap. You could see it, the blue and the yellow patch on this. Maybe it was fake video, I know. But he was ripped his cross off of his neck. And it is absolutely true that when the Russians capture, you can ask Scott Ritter, maybe he's lying, maybe he doesn't know, but he's the one that said it, is that when the Russian captures a Ukrainian, they treat the POW with respect. They give them a cigarette. They let them call their family. This is real. So my point is that these are the types of people that we're dealing with. So they are bullies, like you said, and until we stand up to the bully, they're going to keep being bullies.
Right, and they're sadistic bullies. That's the thing. Like you said, we have to just keep the January 6th people in our hearts, in our minds, and on our lips. Keep talking about it. Don't let them disappear them. That's what they want to do, is just disappear these people. And it's like, no, these people have to be, acknowledged, that this is a great injustice that strikes at the core of this republic. So, Chris, thanks so much for the call.
Same thing's happening in Brazil.
Yeah, in Brazil. They're just rounding them up like crazy in Brazil.
And guess who went down there and helped them figure out how to do it?
Yeah.
Right? We did. Our CIA. We're behind it. We went down there. Hey, Lula, this is how you knock some heads.
Yep. All right. Well, Chris, you have a great weekend, and thanks for calling.
Thanks for letting me get everything. And thank you, sir. And thank you both. And thank you, RBN. God bless.
Oh, yeah. God bless. Okay. Mr. Producer, can we have Murr in Wisconsin?
Hello.
Well, hi there, darling. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you, fine fellas? Hey,
fine.
Ford never signed that apology. He never apologized. That was Harry Bennett. And that's also who helped, undermine the whole foundation. So he was in there. Ford's name. And, of course, they're not going to retract, that he didn't. You know how they go, right?
Right.
But he wanted to keep giving out those pamphlets, putting those books in his cars, So that was all false. And then if you look
at
January...
They should bring it back. They should bring the pamphlets in the cars back. That would be a fun marketing campaign for 2023, wouldn't it? That would go down.
Oh, wouldn't it? I'd love to have one of those cars, too.
Yeah, anybody said, if you buy our car, we throw in the owner's manual a copy of the International Jew by Henry Ford and the Protocols of Zion, I would buy that car.
The world's foremost problem. Yep. I don't care what kind of car it is. It can be a pedal car.
Right. But that is a key point, Murr, that, he never, officially apologized. They basically said he apologized. But he didn't, and the beauty of what he did was leaving everything in the public domain so they couldn't bury it with their copyright laws.
Yeah.
And that's why we were able to do the Henry Ford series with Golden Pipe Wrench and Mr. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, because that stuff is still in the public domain.
Excellent job of that, too. And, you know, January 6th, this using January 6th, in Julian calendar, the Orthodox Christians, Russia in particular, who they're zeroing in on now, just like they did Germany, right? That's a very holy day. That's Christmas Eve. You know, they have their Christmas Eve vigils all night. Everything they do, you've got to look. There's at least a couple angles going on there, you know?
Right.
To leave
and they're all about symbolism and key dates and, like you said, you know, trying to degrade our symbols is what they're all about. It's like Rabbi Friedman said, the only way to fight a moral war is the Jewish way. Destroy their temples, kill men, women, children, and cattle. You know, this is a ruthless adversary. They have no compassion, no forgiveness. They just want you dead.
Yep.
So, Mr. Paul, what do you think of what Murr was talking about?
What, with regard to the undermining of Ford, you mean?
Right.
Of that foundation? Yeah, well, it's useful to know. Obviously, yeah, someone was got at, and it was, you know, there's always someone who gets corrupted. Of course, we end up blaming those people. It's understandable that we do. But this pattern repeats, doesn't it? Over and over and over again. It's nothing new. I mean, this is hundreds, thousands of years old, that we're able maybe to get something together for a few hundred years. It used to be longer in the past because it took longer to corrode things. But invariably, some kind of corruptive thing occurs within it. We kind of know what we're talking about. It's usually through the monetary route because that's where it's easier to exercise more control, because men are greedy or are prone to having some wealth in an easier way. And then, you know, they're controlled, and slowly but surely the whole thing goes down the toilet. And this is a pattern repeated over and over again. I mean, one of the things I've just been reading recently, you know, it's a two books, is A Nation Upside Down by Ken Carter. I think Giuseppe was talking to him a few months ago. I really enjoyed that, and I wouldn't mind speaking to him myself. I've never really studied the U.S. Civil War. I never felt I needed to. Although, of course, it's not really the U.S. Civil War, is it? It's the War of Northern Aggression, which I'm aware of a few things.
Or the second War for Independence.
The thing that struck me about it, and I've not all the way through it, but just the broad brushstrokes of the whole thing, is that, the previous caller was talking about a republic, but you haven't got one. It was lost during the War of Northern Aggression. We haven't had England for hundreds of years. It's complete garbage. It's just the veneer of it. It's just the branding. It's the sales name. The actual substance of these things has been chewed out at the root. And I was thinking, it made me think about England 1,000 years ago, actually, with Alfred the Great and the start of Magna Carta. But by about 1200... there were these laws that came in with the Jews that arrived with the Normans called the Shetar Laws, which undermined the ownership of property.
Yep.
And because there used to be this phrase over here called an Englishman's home is his castle. And we all still pretend that that's true. Although I haven't got any turrets on mine. But the problem was that there used to be a law that said, look, even if the man of the house is a criminal and he owes money, the house cannot be taken out from underneath him to service any debts he may owe to his victims, because that would result in his wife and children being turfed into the street, which would breed a criminal underclass. Well, that was undermined. So the old ways, in nearly all cases, the old ways are sound because they conform closely to nature's law and God's law. And the further we have moved away from that, the more trouble we're in. And democracy is trouble, it's garbage. There's no such thing. We don't have any, I mean, over here, we haven't got a voice. The English do not have a voice in their own affairs.
Right.
I mean, we don't have a prime minister that's English, so he's not the prime minister. People laugh at me about this. They go, oh, he is, because everybody says he is. Well, I don't say he is. So that's that.
I don't say he is.
You ask, he's not.
And I don't think Joe Biden is my president.
I don't have anything personal against him. It's got nothing to do with it. The fact is, he just happens to be the wrong guy saying the wrong things to the wrong people at the wrong time for the wrong reasons. Other than that, he's spot on. He needs to go and serve his own people. Right?
Well, Paul,
we've got nothing to do with us. And it's attitudinally where we're slipped up. People go, oh, no, we can all go along to get along. We can't. History clearly shows that this is a nonsense idea, and it results in ruin. Hello, you know, 21st century. It's all around us, really. Yeah.
Well, you know, March 9, 1933, Rosenfeld well, bankruptcy in this country and made us enemies of the state. And we really were made a democracy, because that's what the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, Bank of International Settlements want through the UN. You know, so it's not only an emergency, constant emergency, and so they have a war on whatever, tummy aches or whatever, you know. So just to keep this feudal system going, F-E-U-D-A-L.
Right. All right, Murray, we got a couple more callers we'll try
thank
to get
you.
In.
So, bye-bye,
thank
good
you
to hear
so
you.
Much for calling. You have a great weekend. And, you know, talking about the U.S. uncivil war, you know, I went through high school, grade school, college, university, and never learned about the role of Judah P. Benjamin. And until you study Judah P. Benjamin, you don't understand the betrayal that happened in this republic. So, Mr. Producer, can you bring in Joe from Florida, please?
Hey, Blackbird, it's Joe from Florida.
Hey,
how are you?
Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you, and thanks, by the way, for your generous time last Saturday. That was a great opportunity. I love that show. You gave me a lot of time last week, so thank you. And hello to Paul English. Paul, I wanted to run this idea by you because you jogged my brain to think about this. So in early 2020, when they started all this corona apocalypse, I recognized it as a psyop. You know, there were things they were saying to do, which there's no way that I would ever do. Put on a mask, stand 6 feet away from people, take the Jewish poison that was supposed to be the solution. These are all things I would obviously not do. But then I thought, what is their goal, right? What's the ultimate goal? Because this irrational behavior. And that's actually what I figured out. What they really tried to do, and unfortunately, I think they really succeeded. They tried to institute... They knew in America and also in Australia and the UK that there was a problem for them with people not conforming, that the sort of basic American spirit, there's a kind of a historical Will Rogers defiance and suspicion of what the government tells you to do. So I think the main goal was to work towards normalizing, complying with things that are irrational. So now, this is what you were talking about, but you see, people have lost the ability to think, and you can see it in their faces, you're right, in little ways and big ways, even in stores and customer service, people are just not thinking anymore, they're not rationally thinking. So to a certain degree, I think the globalists have succeeded, because they have actually changed, it seems to me, a fundamental sort of attitude, at least in America. I think that might have been their goal. You know, in China, all you need is one bureaucrat to say, do something, and 10 million Chinese comply. That was never the case in America, but unfortunately, I think it may be now. What do you think?
Well, I think you're probably right. I mean, you know, as a people, Americans and Britons and Europeans have had an onslaught of mass media indoctrination, particularly since 1945. You know, we've got, you don't think of the television as a weapon. You don't when you're a kid and you're watching cartoons, but it is. I mean, that's really what it's become,
right?
Because it's set the terms and parameters for thought. So you were talking about things here in this space that most people generally don't talk about, even though we kind of feel they ought to be, because this is just old fashioned stuff. We're just talking about being responsible for our wives and our loved ones, and the old stuff is the good stuff. All of that's been pushed out. You don't live in a republic. It's called one, but you don't live in one. I don't live in a democracy. They say I've got the vote. It's irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything. The whole thing's meaningless. It's complete garbage, because, you know, we have less say in our affairs. People are telling me what to do. I just say, you keep talking. I'm not listening. And it's
exactly.
You're right about the thinking, or that it's been reduced. It's not even people's fault. I'm just observing it. I mean, we do get irritated by it, but it doesn't make me better than or anything. We're surrounded by lots of people who don't seem to get fully engaged with their own life, not to the degree that probably people like you and I think they ought to, even just in a little way. Oh, there's nothing. I hear, oh, you can't do anything about it. Well, you can start by thinking about it. What's that going to do? Well, it's the beginning. You know?
Unfortunately, we are out of time. Oh, I wish we could keep going. Joe, thank you so much for the call. You have a great weekend.
Yes, thanks, Joe.
You have been listening to Blackbird 9 Snack Shack with Mr. Paul English. Paul, last word.
Thank you, Frederick, and thanks to all the callers. It's been a very fast hour, but a good one. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us, and go to sleep. Get some good rest. I know it's late there. So, all right, well, I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend, and thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.